Chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55.
Братья наши,
one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord of thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours, than my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for your God, it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May God bless the reading of the word, and let us bow before him in prayer. In the light of God loving us and loving his people, we will have a better understanding as what he's talking about, what he mentions in his word here. And so let us, in our minds, think of the love that God has for us and how he portrays this when he sends out this invitation, if you will. As he says, ho, that means listen up. Pay attention. I want to speak, and I want you to listen. And so he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why would he say this? Why would he use this metaphor of buying? Well, probably because the nation of Israel were used to buying and selling and trading. And so we know that Christ paid for our sins, and there's nothing that we can pay and buy that would change that. So what does he then mean when he says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters? And it takes me back to chapter 4 of John, where Christ met the lady at the well, and she had the opportunity to give Christ a drink of water. And he said, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask him for the living water. And she said right away, give me of that living water. Well, then how does the Lord give us this living water when here he says, come and buy? So you see, we have to look at this in a spiritual mind, a spiritual aspect, because he's referring to it in a spiritual way, simply because we know we can't buy our way into salvation. We can't buy this living water, nor can we buy our love for God. But yet, he uses this metaphor because he wants us to get the understanding what it means. And that is this: thirst, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, and come buy wine, milk, without money and without price. And so he says, why do you spend your money on other things? Wherefore do you spend money that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? So he's referring to our time, and Christ told us that we must redeem the time while we're here. And so we redeem the time to the best that we can to satisfy our Heavenly Father, to draw near to him, to be a witness for him, to be an ambassador for him. And all of this entails in us being one of his children and where we spend our time and how we spend our money. And so if we get so wrapped up in our lives and concerned about making money, he says here, why do you do this? Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its in light and fatness. So you see, he's talking about our very soul salvation. And when he's talking about coming and buying this milk and this honey, he's referring to what God has to give to us. He's not talking about going down to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk and a jar of honey. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the sweetness of his word, the understanding, the teachings that he gives us and teaches us so that we can thoroughly understand. And so he uses this metaphor to buy it. Spend your money this way. Spend your time this way. Spend your life this way. Seeking out his will. Seeking these blessings that he is so willing to give us. And he will. But oftentimes, we have to ask. You know, sometimes we understand why we didn't get something. Maybe because we didn't ask. And sometimes we ask and we don't get it. So you see, we have to depend on the Lord. What he gives us is good. And yet we are to spend our time and our effort on his blessings, on his word, understanding it, knowing what it means for us. And this is what I believe here he means here when he says, spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor with that is not satisfied. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. So you see, they can relate to this. They can understand what it means to buy and to eat and to have and not to have. And so I believe this is the metaphor that he uses for us to understand what it means. And it's simply that we don't go and buy this, but we spend our time and our effort and our minds and our being in the will of God. I'm reminded of the chapter where, I gotta think where it's at. I think it's in Colossians. Yes, Colossians 3. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. And this is what he's talking about when he says, buy, eat of God's blessings. Because we think, even in Romans 12, we renew in your mind so that we understand what it means. We have to think about this. We have to, and in Philippians, he talks about the many things to think on, the good things, the virtue, and so on. These are the things that, and so it all starts in our mind. It starts where our thinking is at. And that usually has to be part of our spiritual life. It's part of our spiritual being. By using our minds and by thinking what it means to set our affections on things above. To buy this milk and this honey without price and without money. It doesn't cost us anything. It don't cost us anything to come here and be to hear God's word. Oh, it might cost us a little gas money. What's that? It does cost us our time. It costs us, we have to separate ourselves from the things of this world and come here to hear the word. So there's a minor cost there, if you will. But the word is free. It's given to us. We have Bibles and we can read and understand it and know it. And all this is free. It don't cost us anything. But he tells us, come. Come and do this, buy this. Reminded of James, where he talks about, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of a man he was. So you see, as he puts it here, be doers of the word. And so this is the effort that we put in. This is our time and our effort that we put in to understand, to hear God's word. That's why it's so important for us to take the time to come, to be here in his midst, Wednesday night, whenever it's time, whenever it is. And so this is why I believe that he is pointing this out, how we should come and eat. And so he uses, incline your ear, and says, come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So you see, he not only wants us to come and seek those things that are above, but he will make a covenant with us. So we want to give our life to the Lord, and we have a we understand what the doctrine of Jesus Christ is all about, what the doctrine of the church stands for, and this is the reason for counseling, so that you can understand and so that you're well aware of what you're getting into when you become a child, when you become a Christian in the Apostolic Christian Church. We want you to know and understand. And so when you come before the congregation and you give your testimony as to your understanding of what this is all about, that you have now went and bought, spend your time, spend your effort to learn, you've been counseled, you now understand what it means to be a child of God, and so you give a testimony that what you want to do with the rest of your life. And in that testimony, at the end of it, it is asked if you understand that you are making a covenant, and this is the covenant that he's talking about. We make a covenant with God that we want to live his ways, we want to do his will, we want to buy, if you will, and drink of this living water. And so we understanding all this, we make this covenant with him, and we can rest assured, even as he made the covenant with David, and he makes a covenant with us, he will never break his covenant. You and I can. If you and I drift away, you and I fall away from the grace of God, if you and I no longer have this
hunger and this thirst and this desire to hear God's word. You want to go about your own way and you want to go live your own life. You can read that about that in Hebrews chapter 10. About the one that trodden underfoot the precious blood of God. Didn't have no use for it no more. When you become that way, there's no more sacrifice for you. And that means that you have broken your covenant with God. God forbid that should happen to any of us. But we have to bear in mind, it's always possible. Always possible. God forbid that it would take place. But it can happen. But if we continue in His word, if we continue to live our life in a godly manner, we don't need to worry about that. Because God will see us through. And if we practice the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He will never misguide us. He will never mislead us. He will always lead us in the correct way. And so this is the covenant that we make with Him. And so He goes on to say, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." And so when the Israelites, and so oft times they drifted away, they went their own ways, and the prophets had their hands full, God would speak to the prophet, tell the people this, try to bring them back. And so this is part of this here where He's saying to them, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." In other words, come back to Him. Come to Him. He's always able to be found. But if we don't look for Him, and we don't want Him, and we have no desire for it, you will never find Him. You have to have that want, that desire to be His child. And so you seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Call ye upon Him while He is near makes it sound like sometimes He's not so close and sometimes He's real close. What I believe He means here, He is always near. It's just we're the ones that have drifted away. We're the ones that have gotten afar, got away from Him. And so we're the ones that have to come back. He's always here. He don't move. He stays here. He's close to us. And He's calling upon us. Seek Him while He is while he's available, while he's near. And so this is why He says this. Come, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. When it says, let him return unto the Lord, that indicates to me that one time perhaps we're close. And that's very true of the Israelite people. There were times when they was very close to God. They followed His ways. They listened to the prophets. They did everything was right. But somehow, some way, down the long line, drifted away. And this is why He says then, seek Him while ye may be found. And then He says, let the wicked forsake and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And so it comes back to this again, our thought mind, our thought process. We have to think about what we have done. Think about where we're going. Think about how we maybe have drifted away. And thanks be to God, He says, and He will have mercy upon you, and to our God He will have abundantly pardon. So when we're sinners and we live in sin and we don't have no desire to follow Him, and then when we finally do, He has abundant pardon. He doesn't hold it against us. He still loves us like the brother prayed. His love is always there. His love is still there. But it's us that drift from it. It's us that reject it. It's us that turn it away. And so then we are required, as He says here, forsake the wicked way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Then He goes into this about, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways, saith the Lord. I have to think about that oft times because, you know, you become a child of God, and you want to obey the scriptures, and so you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you try to focus your thoughts, like we read in Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on this earth. And so oft times we try to do that if we can, possibly. And so our thoughts drift. Our thoughts, let's admit it, we're not always setting our affections on things above. There are things in this earth, and we get wrapped up in concerns and cares of this life, and our thoughts drift. And so he says here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and they aren't. Although our very thoughts are usually guided by him. He knows what we're thinking before we even say it. This is our God. He knows us. And so he wants us to focus our thoughts on him. Even though his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we still strive to please him and to serve him and to keep our thought process on the living God. And that's why he says here. And he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Have you ever wondered what that distance between earth and heaven is? We look up, we see the sky, it's blue. Usually there's no clouds, but it looks like a long ways. And it can go on forever. At night, you see the stars and you wonder how far they really are away. How much distance is there from heaven to earth? And here he says, as the heavens and higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So in other words, God is Almighty God. And he knows the thoughts of every one of us. Think about that. Think of how many people are on the face of this earth, and he knows the thoughts of everyone. Now, if that don't give you some indication of him having higher thoughts than we have, we couldn't begin. We can't even know the thoughts of our own kids sometimes. Sometimes our own spouse. And yet he knows, and he says his thoughts are so much higher than ours. But that's not an excuse for us, because we don't have his thoughts. We can focus our thoughts and our mind on him, regardless if it's all the way to heaven and all the way back, how far away that is. It doesn't matter. We still focus our thoughts on the living God as we go here and buy and sell, as he puts it here. And so he puts it this way, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And we know that this is true. When it rains, it soaks into the ground, it waters the ground. The other day it rained nicely, and we was really glad for that, because it watered our garden and so forth. We didn't have to go out and do that. But he says here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So you see, the water doesn't go back into the clouds. It waters the ground. It helps us with our plants. It helps us, as he says here, it gives us bread to the eater. And so we understand the water goes down. This is the very metaphor that he's using for us to understand that his word goes out. And this is nothing, that's nothing more than this. This is his word. And this goes out. And it will not come back to him void. Because it says here that which I please, that it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now we need to understand something here. His word goes out, we grasp it, we understand it, but what he does, he wants us to make a choice to serve him or not to serve him. Come and buy, he says, without price, without money. He wants us to come to him while he is near. Come to him. And so he says here that that's the same way with his word. His word goes out, and it goes out to everybody. But he does not make any one of us come to him. We have to come on our own desires. We have to come because we want to come. We have to come because it's our will to come and to serve him and to be a part of his will. If we don't have that will, we don't have that desire, then we don't have anything. We must come to him. He will not make us do anything, but he certainly will help us, and he'll be there beside us, and he'll give us all the strength that we need. He'll give us all the understanding we need. He'll give us everything, all his blessings that he can see that we need. He'll give them to us, but we have to ask. We have to come to him. He doesn't force them on us, and that's a very important thing for us because he doesn't want robots. He wants willing hearts. He wants people to come with a desire to serve him. And this is what he was saying to the Israelite people, which is what they refused to do oft times, way too many times. And yet he showed grace and mercy and pardon to them time and time again when they would return and come back to him. This is our God. He's merciful. And he'll give us all that we need. But we must love him, we must serve him, we must do it from our heart. You know, the scripture talks about doing things and doing it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, when we have a job and we're working and we sometimes mumble and grumble because we had to do this job, No. We should do that job as unto the Lord, wholeheartedly, as unto the Lord. And when you got that kind of an attitude, when you got that mindset, if you will, when your thoughts are that way, you will have a much better time in this life. You'll get along with people, you get along with your boss, you get along with everybody. So much better if you have that desire that you're doing it as unto the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do when he wants us to come to him, be his child, be obedient to his word, and serve him. And love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so, dearly beloved, this chapter, as he says here, when that happens, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We know the trees don't have hands to clap. But this is the metaphor he uses. This is the joy that you have. This is the peace that you have. When you accept the Lord's ways, when you accept him as his plan of salvation. This is the benefit of it. Life doesn't mean anything as far as what we have or don't have. What means anything is what we do for the Lord. And then when we do that, that's where the joy and the peace and the satisfaction comes. And this is what he's talking about. Things will change. Outlook on life changes. As he says here, the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. This is the joy that we can grasp and understand when we got and we've done his will, and we live according to his precepts and his laws, his words. We keep his commandments. The outlook on life changes completely. If it don't, we've missed the mark. If we still have problems, we still grumble, still complain, don't like that, we can't see where the hills are singing, we can't see where the trees are clapping, that's because we have failed someplace down the line. That we don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We need to look into our life and examine, why is that? Why is that that I don't have this joy and this peace? There's a reason. And most generally, it's because of sin. Because you see, sin is the thing that separates us from our God. And that's when we get into problems and difficulties. When we have allowed Satan to get into our lives and cause havoc. So you see, as he even puts it, instead of the thorn, there shall come up a fir tree, and instead of their briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So it's a promise for us. It's a promise. We give our lives to the Lord. We live pleasing in his sight. We will find the outlook on life is so much better, so much nicer, so much happier. Because we have given, and again, he wants us to come willingly. He wants us to serve him with a empty heart, a contrite, broken heart. Come to him, and he will care for us. He will make our lives different. So as God has put it upon our hearts to look at his word, understand it, come and buy. He's not far. He's always near. Amen.